This is Insurance Marketing with John Carroll, episode 6. Let's rock.
Welcome to Insurance Marketing with John Carroll, your resource for marketing ideas, sales tips, and business strategies that help agents like you survive and thrive. And now your host, John Carroll.
Hello and welcome to episode number 6 of Insurance Marketing with John Carroll. I am John Carroll. I'm the CEO and founder of InsuranceSplash.com. And this is the podcast all about trying to help insurance agents like yourself do better with sales and marketing. Today's topic is about something that is important, I would expect, to just about any insurance agent. It is tips for young or inexperienced insurance agents. Now, I hope that if you've been selling insurance for 30 years, you don't hear that and think, well, this isn't for me, because the truth is at just about any stage in the sales process, you can always learn something. But more importantly, as an insurance agent with employees, you're always going to be in that situation where you're trying to train young or inexperienced insurance agents. And I have a personal belief, and this is based off my experience, that I think a lot of agents, when they're looking to hire somebody, they make a major mistake, which is trying to find somebody that already has insurance experience. I certainly understand the deal, because you want somebody who's licensed that can, from the very start, from the very get-go, they can start selling insurance. But I think your agents miss out on a lot of opportunities, because you can find a real sales superstar if you look outside of the industry. And quite frankly, bringing them in, you can really mold them to do things exactly the way you want to. I've seen a lot of sales folks that come from other carriers that everything you try to get them to do, it's kind of like, well, we didn't do that over here. That's not really what we believe. And this doesn't work out because, you know, back in my old company, like, forget that. Right? Take some guy who's used to selling tires, right? He's not going to tell you he used to do it differently. He's going to tell you, boy, this is a heck of a lot cooler than selling tires. You know what I mean? Like, it's a lot more respectable. Find that guy. Find that guy off the used car lot and mold him to become a great salesperson. That's where the best producers are. They're not the producers who've been working in insurance for 20 years. They're the people from outside of there. So anyways, that's my little rant about looking outside of the experienced people for hiring new people. And hopefully the content that I'm going to talk to you about, these 21 tips, are things that will help you take somebody who's new to insurance and actually turn them into a sales superstar. And if you are new to insurance, then it's even more direct, because you can take exactly what I say here and you can run with it. So here we are, 21 tips to be an inexperienced but insanely successful insurance salesperson. Tip number one is to dress more professionally. Now, the key is, if you're 22 years old and you're in an office full of older people, they're inherently going to look at you like you're the little kid. And you need to kind of do everything a little bit better than the other people so that you'll be taken seriously. So if everybody else is wearing polo shirts and khaki pants, wear a shirt and tie, okay? Because when you're the sharpest dressed person in the office, everybody else around you is going to take you more seriously. But even more important than that, you will take yourself more seriously. And sometimes confidence comes from the outside in, okay? If you look the part, everyone, including yourself, will start to believe it. I honestly believe that. So whatever level of attire everyone else is wearing, try to put yourself just one step ahead of that, because believe it or not, man, so much is decided just by the way people look at you. And again, you're kind of starting from a bad spot, because you are younger and people will look at you and think that you know less. Okay, so that was number one, dress more professionally. Number two is avoid using young slang. Okay, this is the words that young people say that older people kind of, you know, feel weird about it. Now, I'm 33 years old, so I'm kind of like in this interesting stage where I can kind of, I'm like in the middle. I can see like the 50-year-old people and understand why they think that the young people are using weird words. But then I'm also still kind of like young enough that I get the young side of things too. And I tend to do this myself. But the key is, like, you ever been talking to somebody, you're like, yeah, right on, right on. Yeah, you know, I can get you your insurance, like, for sure. I gotcha. Like, you know, some of these things are like, you know, like, I guess the fair one is like, you know, if you don't want to be saying like, oh, you know what, at this agency, we are all about customer service. Like, all about is just kind of like a young thing to say. So, you know, while I believe that you do have to kind of be yourself, and I don't think you should apologize for that, and you don't always have to walk around like you got a stick up your butt, but just be careful, because there's certain language things that are definitely like younger things that people say. And the truth is, you can kind of maybe get away with saying that to like people in their 30s because they want to feel like they're young still. But people in their 40s, 50s who might be looking at you like, oh, this person doesn't really know what they're talking about, you kind of have to like really use a professional tone so that you're overcoming for the initial challenge that you have, which is looking a little bit young and less experienced. So number three, lesson number three is to find common ground. Okay. Now, I don't care if you're 18 years old and the person you're trying to talk to is 118. There is things that you have in common, and the key is you have to find those things, okay? So did you grow up in the same neighborhood as that person, right? Do you like the same sports team? Do you shop at the same grocery store? Do you both just love your family? Do you love dogs? Do you love knitting? Whatever it is. And the key is you have to find something that you share with that person, because from the get-go, if you're sitting across the table from somebody who's very different, very older, very whatever, you know, they're going to have a barrier because they believe that you're different and you don't understand them. And so when you can focus on those commonalities, the things that you share with that other person, you're going to break down those walls, those barriers that they might be putting up because they do look at you like you're different. So number four is to ask your prospects about their kids, specifically prospects that you think will have kids that will be about your age. Maybe they'll have grandkids. Okay, so if I'm 22 years old and I'm talking to a 50-year-old guy and I say, oh, tell me about your kids. And he says, oh, you know, I got somebody in college. Okay, now you get him start thinking about his kid in college who's maybe like going to be looking for a job in a year or two. And all of a sudden he starts to kind of look at you in the same way. And he's thinking, boy, you know, 2 years from now when my daughter goes out and she gets a job in the real world, I hope that older people will respect her because she's really smart and she's really bright and she works hard. And as this person's thinking these things and they're talking to you, they're actually going to ideally kind of look at you and in a way say, you know, I'm going to treat this younger person the way that I hope other older people will treat my child in the future. So, and the thing is, you don't have to, you just kind of ask them about the kids. They start talking about them, find out what the kids do. And before you know it, they're just going to be falling into that mode of wanting to help you because they would want other people to help their kids, okay? So the other thing, too, is that everything is relative. So if they compare you to themselves, they might think you're young and inexperienced. But if they compare you to their kid, they might be like, you know, this kid's really got it together. I wish that my kids did because my kids are a bunch of losers. This kid is awesome. And now all of a sudden you look like a king because you're being compared to somebody who's maybe not quite as good. Now, number five, tip number five, if you're inexperienced, is to reference the combined experience, okay? Remind your prospects that you're not the only one they're buying for, okay? You can say something like, listen, I just passed my license exam 2 months ago, all right? But I am so lucky because this office I'm in has over 45 years of insurance experience. And anytime anything comes up that I don't know what the answer is, I just go right to my boss. And in fact, every policy I write, they actually review everything that I do. And so in some ways, the work that I do is even higher quality than everybody else because I know that it's being watched and because they're trying to teach me with everything that I do. You know, if you think that that person might be hesitant about working with you because you're inexperienced, make sure that they know that that's just not a problem for you. You have so much experience in this office and you know how to use it. Okay. So that was number five. Number six is to learn from your experienced coworkers. And I kind of want to talk about like a little bit of a cultural thing here that I've seen a lot of this. And the deal is like this, like you're 22 years old, you go into this office and there's like some person there that's, we'll say 55 years old. And they type with two fingers and they kind of, you know, they don't know how to use the printer. You know, the printer doesn't work. And so they start banging it. And, you know, before you know it, like it's real easy for a 22-year-old kid to start looking at somebody who's 55 years old like they're kind of an idiot. I mean, I've seen this happen. I've been on, you know, the younger side of it too. But the key is, and I'm telling you this from my experience, I cannot tell you how many multimillionaire insurance agent owners I've met who cannot type, they can't spell an email, their grammar is horrible. I mean, I've seen this over and over and over and over again. And I want to tell you something. Those people, you can learn more from them than you can somebody who knows how to use Facebook or knows how to do this stuff, okay? So, I mean, just keep in mind that just because, you know, some people didn't grow up in the technology that you have, that doesn't mean that they don't have a lot to teach you. In fact, in some ways, they have more to teach you, because the more diverse the people that you're learning from are, the better off you're going to be. So that's number six is, you know, don't think you're smarter than those people just because you can hook up a printer, you know, because before you know it, everybody's going to have a Mac and it won't be an issue. Number seven is to be enthusiastic, okay? Like, you think about that, like, you know, well, just think about any infomercial. I'm thinking about like ShamWow right now, but any infomercial that you watch, it's just all these people like, you know, we're so excited. We can't believe that, you know, this thing is going to change my life, right? The thing is, silly as it sounds, we watch these infomercials. I'm not going to lie to you. People like enthusiasm. People are drawn to passion and enthusiasm. And as a young person, that's something that you really can show. And in fact, in some ways, because you're young, you can show it in ways that older people might not be able to get away with. You know, older people might look like an idiot if they get all excited about uninsured motorist coverage. I don't know. But you're young, and people will actually embrace that. They'll say, boy, this is a guy, you know, he's young, but man, this guy has a lot of energy. They'll like that. They'll buy into that, all right? So don't feel like you have to be so professional, you know, like, yes, sir, how are you, all the time. I mean, be enthusiastic. Have a lot of energy. It's an advantage that you have, okay? That's number seven. Number eight is to follow the financial markets, okay? So especially if you're trying to relate to a more mature and professional audience, just being able to have a conversation with somebody about what's going on in the markets can, you know, it can kind of like really boost you up a little bit. But you have to be careful, because if you're talking to somebody who knows this stuff, it's really easy to sound stupid. All right, so what I'm trying to say is you can actually look dumber than you are if you start to say, oh, you know, I'm really interested in this this stock right here is right about to jump. I mean, you kind of, I've talked to a lot of people who talk like that, and you know, I kind of look at them like, you're an idiot. Like, don't talk. You don't even know what you're talking about. You know what I mean? Like, you know, so I would stay away from like trying to like repeat things that you heard Jim Cramer say, because it kind of just makes you look like one of those blind follower type people. But you can say things like, you know, so what sectors do you think are going to be good, you know, in the next like 2 to 4 years? Okay. Now, if you say something like that, it's a question that obviously shows that you're kind of into the market a little bit. But by saying, oh, what do you think is 2 to 4 years going to be a good sector? It's kind of like saying, hey, like, you know, I'm not like, I'm in it for the long haul. I'm interested in, you know, more responsible investing. So, you know, follow the markets. Being able to talk to people about that kind of stuff is good. And to be honest, I mean, if you kind of ask somebody, oh, did you see what the market did today? And they're not a market follower, you don't want to come, like, there's a danger that you might be viewed as like pretentious or something like that. But there's also kind of this thing where, you know, if somebody doesn't follow the markets and it's clear that you do, you know, you don't want to dwell on it, but it kind of puts you in this dynamic relationship with a person, which is like, oh, this is like a real, I don't know what I'm trying to say. I guess I'm just trying to say it kind of makes you look older. It doesn't make you look like a kid who's like all about going out to the bars and you know, doing wild, crazy things. It makes you look like somebody who's, you know, got a future and a career and goals and all that kind of stuff. So, okay. Number nine, lesson number nine, is to actually take some time to somehow get a recording of how you sound on the phone, okay? And ask some other people to listen to it. Listen to it yourself. Do you sound smart? Do you sound confident? Or do you sound like a little kid who picked up the phone in daddy's office? I can tell you from experience that when you answer questions with authority, people will believe you. When you answer them like, kind of hemming and hawing, you know, it's really hard. Later on, when you get to that stage where you're asking somebody to sign on the line, if you've been hemming and hawing all the way up to there. So, you know, take some time to listen to your phone voice and really be analytical about it. If this is your career, if this is something you're serious about, then it's really important that you sound good on the phone. So make that part of your strategy for becoming better at what you do. Number 10, another tip for inexperienced people is to sell to other young people, all right? Guess what? You might think that you're at a disadvantage because, you know, maybe it's harder for you to talk to people in their 50s or 60s, but guess what? It's harder for those salespeople in their 50s and 60s to talk to the young people, and there's millions of them, okay? Most people who are actually searching for an insurance agent that they can have for the next 20 years of their life are not 50 years old. They're 30 years old. They're buying their first house. They're getting married. They're starting a business. They're having their first kids. Those are the people who are trying to find an insurance agent that they can trust, that they can have follow with them for the rest of their life. By the time people get to 50 or 60, like, they're kind of already set on that kind of stuff. At least a lot of the best ones are, okay? So think of it as an opportunity. You can attract those young people in ways that some other salespeople cannot. Okay? So number 11, do not ignore the sales fundamentals. Okay. Now, I know I work with a lot of young people, and a lot of them kind of come at me with, oh, you know, like, it's all about Facebook. It's all about Twitter and text messages and QR codes and all this kind of stuff. But the bottom line is that that's not what sells insurance. People sell insurance. All of those are tools, and they're great tools. I love those tools. I use most of them. But social media will never replace the basics. And when we're talking about basics, I'm going to give you a super basic, okay? There is a book called How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's written by a guy named Dale Carnegie, and it was actually published in 1936. And what's so cool about this book, I've listened to it. I have it like a recording of it. I listened to it in my car. I listen to it about like once a year maybe. And what's funny about it is that like he'll like tell this story of how Benjamin Franklin, like, you know, it'd be like, here's a great example of how Henry Ford convinced all his salespeople to do X or, you know, to do something. And it's funny because you listen to these stories and you're like, wow, that would work today. And it makes you realize that there are fundamentals to sales and making friends and influencing people that are universal. They'll be around forever. And in many ways, the things that are making a social media like Facebook take off are the same things. They're the same underlying fundamental things that Dale Carnegie talks about in that book. So that's one of my lessons, is read that book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And if you're looking for like a real sales guru type guy, the guy that I kind of probably got started on, I really dig him. He's from New Jersey. So he's like a Northeasterner, but his name is Jeffrey Gitomer. That's Gitomer. His website's gitomer.com. But he's the man when it comes to, here's how you can sell without being a salesman, but he's still talking about sales techniques and real world kind of stuff. He's kind of like maybe like another generation kind of guy of like Zig Ziglar, who's also awesome. Zig Ziglar is awesome. Anyways, just I guess do a search on those guys. How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie, Zig Ziglar, and Jeffrey Gitomer. Number 12, speak less, listen more. I have to tell myself this all the time. It's hard to do on a podcast. But one of the things I've found that when I'm in a situation where I don't know as much as other people is that just about every time I open my mouth, I wish I hadn't. When you speak less and you listen more, not only do you look smarter, but you learn more, and you basically take away the opportunity of shooting yourself in the foot. Okay. And I've seen a lot of new people who they kind of like, they really want to like show that they know everything, because they kind of feel like a little inferior that they don't know everything. So they'll go off on all these little tangents and, oh, here's, you know, the most intricate detail about something that the person didn't even ask about. And the truth is, it kind of makes you look like, you know, you're trying to overcompensate. Okay. So just keep in mind, every sales conversation, I don't want to say it's like an exact percentage, but let's just say you should be talking less than half the time. Okay. More than half the time, the other person should be talking, whether it's 60, 40, 80, 20, 90, 10, I don't care. I don't know. But the key is you have to ask questions. You have to ask questions, get people talking, and they will tell you what you need to know to make the sale. So that was number 12. Number 13 is to bring up age first. Okay. Now, this is kind of a sales technique, is bringing up your objections before the other person has an opportunity to bring them up is a great way to overcome them, so you don't look like you're overcoming them. So, you know, right from the very get-go, you can just say, hey, listen, I am, I know I'm new at this, but let me tell you why that shouldn't worry you. I am so hungry. I am so thirsty for knowledge that I might be inexperienced, but you're still getting the most devoted person you could ever possibly get, even though I am only 16 years old. All right, number 14 is be better prepared, okay? This is probably true for any sales agent, but the more prepared you are, the better off you're going to be, okay? You're at a disadvantage because you're less experienced. That means you have to work harder. You got to work longer. You got to learn more about your products. You got to have an answer for every possible question. Read books about sales. Listen to sales audio tapes. Go to seminars. Listen to my podcast. Get in front of a mirror. Practice your sales scripts. Practice your rebuttals, your closes, everything. Nothing will come to you. You have to prepare yourself and go get it yourself. Remember that. That's truth. Number 15, expect to live in the trenches. All right. I know that maybe, you know, when you're 21 years old, and this is true for me. This was definitely true for me. When I was 22 years old, I had been taken care of like a little butterfly. like I thought I was the smartest, most capable person in the world. And anybody who didn't rise me right to the top in whatever career or whatever business I was in, then they were an idiot. But let me tell you something. You are going to be in the trenches. You're young. You have to learn. You don't know everything. You don't really know much of anything. And selling insurance is really hard work. Now, when you see insurance agents, maybe it's your boss, maybe it's some other insurance agent, but you see them and they're driving like the nice cars and they're playing golf and they're doing all this stuff. They did not get there overnight. This isn't, you're not Robin Thicke. Like, you know, this isn't the entertainment business. People get successful by selling and selling and selling and selling and selling. And the only way to be super successful in the insurance sales business. And if you want to be successful, you're going to have to do it that way, just by selling. Expect to live in the trenches. Now, rule number 16, another thing. This is kind of like a motivational thing, like a psych yourself up kind of thing before you're about to go to a big meeting. A lot of people have this tendency that they'll say, say they're going to do something new. They'll say, like, I can do this. I can do this. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. And I'm giving you like a little bit of a twist on this. Instead, what I want you to do is say, can I do this? Now, the deal is saying, I can do this, doesn't really do anything for you. But when you say, can I do this? What's going to happen is you're going to be forced to answer the question. And you're probably going to have to say yes. Because if the answer is no, then I guess don't even make the sales appointment. All right? So when you say to yourself, yes, I can do this. Okay? You're going to say, of course I can do this. I'm licensed. I got my license. I'm trained. I know the products. I've studied the sales. I know every objection they could possibly tell me. I know how to avoid those objections. I've practiced every element of the sales process. And most of all, I believe in the products that I'm selling. All right? Now, what you're doing is you're talking yourself into it. And it's just a much more successful thing. So just remember that. The next time you're kind of nervous about something, don't say, can I do this? Or excuse me, let me tell you that. Don't say, I can do this. I can do this. Say to yourself, can I do this? And the answer to that question will motivate you far more than anything else will. Number 17, do not spew the features. Okay? So when you're new to selling, it's really common to focus on the product features rather than the benefits. All right? So for example, at some point you learned all the 10 features of a product, like, oh, this insurance coverage. You know, if you happen to, I don't know, if there's a flood and there's a, you know, trash in your house, the coverage will pay for it, whatever it is. I don't care. But a lot of times young people, they're anxious to prove that they know all this kind of stuff. I talked about that a few minutes ago. There's maybe one or two features that are going to interest every client, and you're better off asking questions to find out what they really care about and explaining those features very well. Because you might actually talk about something that they don't care about. And the thing is, think about it this way. If I'm trying to buy insurance and the guy is talking to me and he says, you know, this insurance has this special feature that does X, Y, and Z. And I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, but I don't care about X, Y, and Z. Now I'm thinking I'm actually paying for something that I don't want. And I'm thinking, well, I'm going to find somebody that doesn't have X, Y, Z because I don't even want that. Why should I pay for it? Okay. So remember, only talk about the features that the people actually care about. Number 18. Number 18, do not use jargon. Okay. Jargon is, you know, all this stuff like UM coverage or, you know, like your other structures, you know, all these little terms. Don't use that stuff. You think you should use it because you took a class and you studied the glossary and you, you know, you trained for your thing and you took your tests and you want to use the jargon. Don't use it. Nothing says I'm a bad salesperson more than using jargon. Just think about it like the tech guy when you go and, you know, you have a problem like with your computer and the guy's like just a jerk about it. He thinks he's so smart. And then like the funny thing is like he'll explain something like you don't know what a printer driver is, you know, like trying to make you feel bad. You know, that's stupid. The truth is, if you really understand insurance, you'll be able to explain it to people without having to use any jargon. That's the difference between a really good salesperson and a bad one. So don't use the jargon. Find a way to avoid it. And the cool thing is, because you're new, you're actually, it's should be easier for you to avoid the jargon because you still remember what it was like not to know that jargon, right? Use that to your advantage. Number 19, learn how to recognize and act on buying signals. The key is this: when somebody gives you a signal that they're about to buy, sell. Don't sell. Close the deal. All right. Shut up. When somebody's ready to buy, get them to sign the paper. All right. Don't do anything else. Don't talk yourself out of it. Don't do anything. Listen. You need to be listening and act on that buying signal. Number 20, do not sell on price. What? Did I really just say that? Don't sell on price. But then, John, that's all people care about when it comes to insurance, right? People call me. All they know is insurance. All they know is price. Guess what? They're only shopping on price because you haven't told them what else they should be looking at. The bottom line is that if you honestly believe that people only buy insurance on price, then you're going to be in trouble. You should quit the industry. You're in the wrong business. If the only thing is price and that's all that matters, then you really there's no need for you to be in the business. We can get a computer to just crank out all the different things. Okay. And insurance agents are never going to survive if we just turn ourselves into a bunch of price checkers. Okay. Because I can pay somebody in some foreign country that has a favorable exchange rate for $2 an hour to give somebody a price. You need to be a salesperson. And if all you care about is price, just get out. Get out. Just forget it. Now, the last tip, number 21, last tip is embrace your youth. It is an advantage. Be crazy. Be reckless. Be passionate. Be young. No one ever had a midlife crisis and became an insurance salesman, right? Don't be afraid to breathe some life into this business. It's not fun and exciting. You can make it that way. Smile, laugh, be fun, okay? I mean, who would you rather spend an hour talking to about insurance? Somebody who's maybe less experienced, but you can joke with, you can have a good time with, they laugh, they're funny, or somebody who's really serious, like Ben Bernanke, you know, like he probably knows a good amount about insurance, but I wouldn't really want to have a conversation with him. So anyways, that was 21 ideas for how you can become a better salesperson, even if you're young and inexperienced. I think it's going to help young and inexperienced people, but I think it might even be more helpful for people that are training young and experienced people. So I hope that both of those groups and anybody else can find some value out of this information. Before I break out of here, I want to just mention a couple things. Number one is that you can access the notes about this podcast where I'll have links to the different things that I was talking about. You'll also be able to get another version of this podcast with breakouts of the 21 different factors that I talked about. You can get all that by going to insurancesplash.com/6. And if you type that into your browser, it'll take you right to the show notes for this article. If you found value in this, if you think this is information that you can use and it's going to make you better at what you do, and you want to say thanks, a really great way to do that is to go onto iTunes and just write a real quick little 5-star brief review about, you know, the kind of things that you learned here. That helps me be more visible to more agents, which helps me help more agents, and that's important to me. So if you want to get me back, that's the best way to do it. And finally, there's also a toll-free phone number that you can call up and you can ask a question. You can get that toll-free number. I'm not going to give it to you here, but if you go to insurancesplash.com/podcast, you'll see it right there. It's an 800 number. Maybe it's like 877. I don't know what it is. I don't have it right here in front of me. Basically, you can call that number, and if you have a question about insurance sales or marketing or really anything about the industry that you think I might have some insight in, I would really love it if you'd record something. Say your name, where you're from, and I'll include a link to your agency website in the show notes. I'd like to make this as interactive as possible, and I'd love to hear from the folks that are listening just like you. So that's all I got for today. Hope you can go out, sell lots of insurance. Don't take no for an answer. If you're young, stick in it. It's a great business, and the world needs your agency website in the show notes. I'd like to make this as interactive as possible, and I'd love to hear from the folks that are listening just like you. So that's all I got for today. Hope you can go out, sell lots of insurance. Don't take no for an answer. If you're young, stick in it. It's a great business, and the world needs your agency website in the show notes. I'd like to make this as interactive as possible, and I'd love to hear from the folks that are listening just like you. So that's all I got for today. Hope you can go out, sell lots of insurance. Don't take no for an answer. If you're young, stick in it. It's a great business, and the world needs your agency website in the show notes. I'd like to make this as interactive as possible, and I'd love to hear from the folks that are listening just like you. So that's all I got for today. Hope you can go out, sell lots of insurance. Don't take no for an answer. If you're young, stick in it. It's a great business, and the world needs your agency website in the show notes. I'd like to make this as interactive as possible, and I'd love to hear from the folks that are listening just like you. So that's all I got for today. Hope you can go out, sell lots of insurance. Don't take no for an answer. If you're young, stick in it. It's a great business, and the world needs your agency website in the show notes. I'd like to make this as interactive as possible, and I'd love to hear from the folks that are listening just like you. So that's all I got for today. Hope you can go out, sell lots of insurance. Don't take no for an answer. If you're young, stick in it. It's a great business, and the world needs your agency website in the show notes. I'd like to make this as interactive as possible, and I'd love to hear from the folks that are listening just like you. So that's all I got for today. Hope you can go out, sell lots of insurance. Don't take no for an answer. If you're young, stick in it. It's a great business, and the world needs your agency website in the show notes. I'd like to make this as interactive as possible, and I'd love to hear from the folks that are listening just like you. So that's all I got for today. Hope you can go out, sell lots of insurance. Don't take no for an answer. If you're young, stick in it. It's a great business, and the world needs your agency website in the show notes. I'd like to make this as interactive as possible, and I'd love to hear from the folks that are listening just like you. So that's all I got for today. Hope you can go out, sell lots of insurance. Don't take no for an answer. If you're young, stick in it. It's a great business, and the world needs a new generation of insurance salespeople. So hopefully you can bring the energy and the knowledge about the things that you have with you into the industry. And I think it's a benefit to everybody. So thank you very much. Have a great day. I'll see you next time. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Insurance.